Heiner, you ask questions. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Heiner, sorry for not getting back to your question. What are the advantages of using neural networks over decision trees? In what situations would one be preferred over the other? I can see from just running this code that the neural network is much, much slower than a tree. And earlier you said that a tree can also do any regression as good as a network. Well, in cases where you have data like this, which fits in an Excel sheet, maybe not in size, but which is structured, you have a fixed number of input variables and you're trying to do a classification, and especially or regression, especially with the housing data. Here, I would use a tree. And also, quoting Trevor Hasty from Stanford, you know, if you want to look for something that gives you a good off-the-shelf product that works in most cases, then this is it. I would use trees, especially also because they're fast. If you're working on a problem, and also it turns out most of the time what takes the longest is neither running a decision tree nor a neural network, but getting the data and sorting in it and preparing it and so on. All that takes a lot longer. So usually I would say try out with the decision tree, tree-based algorithm, to just start at the problem and see how far you can get quickly. And then wonder, is this a 3-week problem or is it my master thesis? And if it's important that you squeeze out more, then I would seriously consider the neural networks, because this is where they can sometimes do wonders. And then comes the case, for example, for the continuous input of data or things that do not have a fixed length. I can tell you, for example, that in both Atlas, but also in the ice cube experiment on the South Pole, you know, we have particles which gives a certain number of hits, and each of these hits have information about where did it come from, how much energy, and so on. But you don't get the same number of hits every time. A tree has a hard time attacking that problem. Whereas an LSTM, which is a type of neural network, just, you know, many after each other, are perfect for this. So for that, I would say it's quite useful. What do I mean by hits? Well, a particle comes in, or something else comes, and creates maybe 5 entries, pieces of information, for this case, maybe 100. Right? It would be the same as if you were looking at a medical record for a person. And if all persons had been to the hospital 5 times before, then a tree would work. But what do you do if some have never, well, only been there once, and some have been there 100 times? How do you put that into a tree-based algorithm? That is hard. But the recurrent neural network will do fine with that. And then images. Here, convolutional neural networks is the obvious choice. It's been developed for exactly that. And finally, there are cases, and the Ice Cube case might be one, where a so-called graph neural network is good for sort of geometric problems, which are not just pixels in an image. Did that answer the question, Heiner? Cool. Then I won't bock everybody. We'll have more of this, but yeah, that was just an afternoon input. Cool. Don't hesitate to ask out also if I don't see what you post in the chat or forget about it. Cool. All right. It's 4 o'clock now, and well, don't worry, we'll be here till five. But now I asked a general question, namely, how many of you are transforming the input variables before you're feeding it to the training? Try to put yeses and noes.
I did both with the sklearn, but I got better results without transforming.
Ha! Interesting. Okay. Everything I said was wrong about transformation then.
I don't think so, though.
All right. But I think since in the BJET case, these are fairly smooth variables, you will get relatively far without transforming them. Might even be better, as in your case, Jonathan. So I think it's okay to start without transforming, but at some point, if you want to push for performance, then this is not a bad idea. So, but so far, just try to get anything that works in the 15 to 10% order magnitude performance or accuracy or error rate.
Tools, can I ask you a quick question?
Of course.
When I try to use PyTorch for solving this exercise,
I always have
problem like constructing a training loop for training and a neural network. I always find that extremely difficult to just wrap my head around how to actually do it with the tools that PyTorch provide. So do you have any like tutorials or just like get a basic neural network up and running and a basic training loop?
That's actually that was why in the ML links I put the discussion of XGBoost versus LightGBM, because it comes with code and example code for running. And if I find the equivalent for Keras TensorFlow and PyTorch, then I'll post them immediately.
Great.
Perhaps it's a general question also to Zoe, Carl, Adriano, you know, if they know of these. Otherwise, I'll go search, but I imagine you searched already.
Yeah, I'm probably going to continue. I'll post it if I find something as well.
Okay.
Were you using PyTorch? Because I have one that I'm using where it also does the looping, which I've pretty much copy-pasted, and it sort of works, and it's more simple than a lot of the other ones I've found.
Yeah, that would be great for a start, at least, if you would post that link.
And I'll post it.
Cool. Thanks, Asker. All right. That actually looks very nice. And also graphically nice. I'm trying to put together a graphically nice solution for the tree-based just with sklearn. I'll post that as well. Aske and Jonathan, I'm going to read this more carefully, but so are you probably and others. And if you feel that this is a good source, then I'll add it to the ML links list. So please give me feedback on that. What do you think?
Yeah, I've pretty much gone through all the way to where they'll start improving accuracy, and I think it's pretty well described, except for a couple of things where it goes. For example, it makes a reshaping of the label, the label data, and I can't really seem to grasp why they would do that, but it might just be an artifact of the data that they're using. which has a bit of a different appearance than 2 hours.
But, okay, I'll be searching through if I find something better. Seeing, but thanks.
Yeah, but otherwise, a lot of the other ones I found is not using numerical data, or not exclusively using numerical data, like also using categorical, and that makes it a bit more complex. When
All right.
Troll, I have a question.
Sure.
Regarding the score of the model and the R square score. I wrote it in the chat.
Yeah, there's a function score, yeah. And the R2 score, yeah, that's something else. So we'll come a lot more back to how do we score these models? What are we going for? But actually I found the, said looking at the documentation for it. Section 3.3 metric and scoring. And they have a discussion of it, of which is what and so on. But for some of them, it's no. I think I'm going to refer to that for now. And then you're welcome to write me also. But for now, we've been comparing wrong fraction. Okay.
Tors?
Sorry, yep. Now I'm,
So I have been trying to change the number of neurons in the hidden layers and the number of layers in the scikit-learn thing.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit confused, so I tried to give it like, I think 10 layers with like progressively more nodes, and that gave me a result that was a lot worse than just having in 3 layers with 11 nodes in each of 3 hidden layers. So how can more layers and more nodes give worse results?
Because the training has not worked. If you give it 10 layers, that's a complicated situation and it might need help. And it's not easy that to train such a model.
Ah.
And it might also be that you're overtraining. But I don't know how much your result diminished in power.
It went from 90 to 78.
Okay, that would be brutal bad overtraining. Sounds like it's also not simply trained completely. But just for comparison, I can say that this data set, it's 25 years ago that Aleph did a neural network on it, and they took 6 input parameters, and they asked themselves, well, if we put 2 hidden layers with 10 neurons in each, that was it. So when you do 3 layers with a little more, I think that's a good, decent sized network, and you get 90%, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's approximately where the limit is. But otherwise, it might be hard to train. But good that you play around. I mean, that's just good.
Last question. Are you going to give any more like collective messages today? Or just answering questions?
No, I plan to only answer questions. Sometimes a question comes up that requires a general thing. And then I planned something else just for those who held out. I thought, okay, yesterday I was asked about what are these hats in the background? And here is a British Empire hat, you could call it. And so I thought of picking out an object every time in my office. On the other side here, I have hanging. This is a Tibetan sacrificial dagger. So, and they're special in that they have sort of a 3 shaped hole, and I hope that this was antique. Well, I know it's not at all. I wish I had one, but I bought it in Lhasa when I was there. So yeah, other than that, nothing planned at least.
May I ask you a question, Tols?
Yeah, of course.
What exactly they're using that dagger for?
Sacrifices of animals, I think.
Okay, that's nice.
Yeah, well, not in particular. But
I would assume they use it every time he has a new model for the Atlas thing.
Then we sacrifice the old one.
I would assume you would sacrifice a PhD student. So if you open the Atlas up, it's filled
a good
with
one.
Sacrificed PhD students. That's why it works so well.
No. All right. At the end of the last lecture, I'll tell about something that isn't here anymore, or at least not supposed to be.
Tools, I have another question. You're muted.
Yeah.
Okay. But so for a lot of these like examples, I see that they do the scatter plot that we also did yesterday. And that's all fine and well, but it sort of only works if you only have two input variables, right?
Say that again. They do which type of plots?
Just a scatter plot where you plot.
Oh, yeah.
For two input variables, you plot a scatter plot, and then you can like put your neural network estimation over and see how well it guessed, sort of where it made the cut and stuff. Is there any meaningful way to do that when you have a larger amount of input variables? Because I've used all 10 of them, and it's just if it makes any sense to even plot them.
No, well, actually regarding 10 variables, remember the 10th variable NNBJ was actually output from the other. So you could say this is a bit like a human assisted variable. It's not human assisted, but it's an assisting variable that tends to keep your model smaller when getting the same out of it.
Yeah.
This is where we step into blind land, black box land.
Okay. So you wouldn't really get any meaningful information out of plotting two random variables together and see if they're very deciding factor in how the algorithm works or in how the neural network decides.
Well, maybe not, because not looking into the model is, you know, also a capital crime. So imagine here when you have 9 input variables, you could make a 9x9 matrix of small figures showing how the model fared in these. That would be, you know, something you could do.
Yeah, okay.
So then at least you get pairwise correlations and strange things into account. But it might be that things look good in two dimensions, but horrible in a third.
Okay.
There's never a guarantee for that.
Yep. Thank you.
Cool. Back to code.
Sorry, Troll, do you hear me? Wait, I cannot hear you. You are muted. I meant, yes, when you have copies of a measure that you are doing, you have normally replicates or at least three. So that can be an issue, I mean, to my data set. If I just put my data set with many measurements of the same thing, or should I kick out the replicants and just take the average of each?
I think I would take the raw sample. Sorry, I didn't see your writing. Because even if you do the same thing, you could say the same setup three times. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, with the same setup, one measurement is replicated minimum three by three.
Yeah, it's not identical numbers going in, right?
No, it varies. Yeah,
exactly. And for that reason, and I assume you're doing a regression here.
Yes.
Then I would put all three in as the raw data. Because okay. Then it has a chance to learn the fact that the same input doesn't give the same output and know where it should try to hit it. Does that answer?
Yes, it helps.
Cool. Sounds like something you might want to do a project with. Then we'll return to it.
vil se, og 5 minutter vil tage 8 timer.
All right, everyone, we're closing in on 5 o'clock, and I'm gonna end the meeting there. That doesn't mean you're not welcome to continue and write us and so on, but I just want to make sure if or ask if there are any questions here on the at the end of today. No, that was simple. The other thing I can do is to say that Adriano and I, and well, and Zoe and Carl are working on getting next week ready, week two. And in week two, we'll look at data collection, pre-processing, and dimensionality reduction. When things are simply too complicated, not 9 input variables, but a lot more. And we'll also look at training, validation, test, cross-validation, and introduction to basic machinery. And then Wednesday afternoon, we'll have a visitor, Christian Mikkelsen, who will be talking about hyperparameters, overtraining, and early stopping. So all the questions, how do I make it more efficient? How do I squeeze the last 0.5% out of it? There is at least a discussion of how it's in principle done, and a few tools as well. So that's the status. And meanwhile, think about which groups you want to be in and who you want to work with, and otherwise enjoy the great weather. I'm going to stop sharing and ask last time for questions. Otherwise, we're ending here.
Thank you for a good session.
You're very welcome. All right, then we'll just end here. Enjoy for now, and see you on Monday after lunch. 1:15 on Monday.